Anyway, come on in, boys. There they are. Dregs, Bobby Mack, joining us in studio. We've been stalling. I don't know if you could pick that up.
That's good radio.
Yeah, it's always quality radio. And TV, for that matter. We're up on TSN, too. What's up, boys?
This is the new dynamic, huh? Just a two-man show.
Yeah, Noodles is out. Noodles is in Vegas tonight.
Are you bringing it? Are you bringing it, O-Dog?
I've tried my best.
Yeah, you've done very well.
I've tried my best.
We were obviously working, so we didn't hear, but we got reports that you guys were a little feisty off the top today. Is that correct?
Yeah, some backup goalie chatter, because that's what the people really want.
Well, I'm sure you guys both watched the game. Is there any of those goals where you said, Hutchinson, oh, man, he should have had that one?
No, and it doesn't matter because people are predisposed after the Sparks exercise last year. Yeah. And the fact, and listen, let me be clear on one thing. I'm not convinced, not based on the two games that he's played, just in general. I don't know that Michael Hutchinson is going to get the job done for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I don't either, and I actually don't think he will.
And I may well be with you on that one. But the two games that he's crashed and burned, it's been less about him crashing and burning and more about everybody in front of him crashing and burning.
Did you hear what that man said?
And yet,
he's been in the game for 40 years.
I will just speculate, take a wild stab, that Mike Babcock might feel the same as you.
I think you're right. I think he was channeling my thoughts last night.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Dubas feels the way you do.
Yeah. I mean, it's an empty calories comment, but at some point you just got to get a stop. Like, that's what it sounds so ridiculous. See, it's not a deep thought.
You know the one he thought he should have stopped? The 5-on-3 goal.
The Carlson shot. I thought he hit the middle of the net. And the context, they had just given up two in about a minute and a half. Your team is unraveling. It's unfair, but that's the job. You chose to be a goalie when you were 5 years old.
Are you going to hold the rest of the team to the same standard?
No, you know what I asked them about? This is what I asked them.
They were brutal.
Next time Austin Matthews, like when Austin Matthews scored those goals, like whenever he rips one under the bar, he never once comes in here and says, man, the goalie from the other team should have had that one. Never once does he ever say that.
Because he's a Leaf fan.
No, I will now. I'm an objective observer.
Oh, yeah. Corposalo, whatever that guy's name is in Columbus. Nobody even saw
that. That was a great. No one's stopping that.
Great thought.
Nobody's stopping that.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, doesn't it boil down to there's just a general sense that the backup goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs isn't good enough? But you can go around the National Hockey League, and there aren't that many teams that have, you know, Koskinen and Smith seem to be working well in Edmonton. I'm okay with Anderson and Nielsen in Ottawa, but, you know,
Boston's got a
good tandem. If you don't have two of them, you want a better backup.
And I don't have a problem with, I know Dave Poulin does, and he's on record as saying it. I don't have a problem with Babcock religiously starting Freddie in the first game of the back to backs.
Same way. He doesn't mind it at all.
No matter. I have no problem with that. 2 points is 2 points.
Right.
And if you think a well rested Freddie in game one is your best bet to get 2 points out of four, and then you are throwing your backup to the Wolves here.
Oh yeah.
Let's be honest. You're putting the lesser goalie in against a well rested team, and in many instances it turns out to be a better team.
Yeah.
So Minnesota Wild, Washington Capitals. Washington Capitals. So, and the same thing when Montreal was well rested on opening night, at least played the night before in Columbus. So you're setting a much higher bar for your backup goaltender to get to. That's got to be taken into consideration too.
Yeah. Well, he's going to start Montreal, Washington, Boston, Montreal.
Yeah.
If it plays out the way we expect it to play.
Right. And when what do most backup goalies get? Most backup goalies get to play on the night when the other team started. I used to think there was a rule in the NHL that the teams would get together and decide, let's play our backups against each other tonight, because on a night when one backup was playing, a lot of times the other backup was playing. But it's a lot of back-to-backs early in the season in October. And whatever you want to say about Hutchinson, and as I said, I'm not the president of his fan club or whatever, but if you're gonna rip somebody apart, start with Riley and all the defense and Tavares, all the injured Tavares and Matthews and all the forwards, because
yeah, there's every bad line changes, because lost battles, lost
because
assignments.
In each of those games where Hutchinson played, they collapsed in front of him. He gave them a chance to win both games, and they lost.
Well, they're 4-3-1, and now Tavares is out for a minimum of 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's got to be more, right?
I think it's got to be. Life. I mean, probably maybe three, maybe four. I don't know. If it's a fractured finger, I mean.
They say those things, 2-4, 4-6, 6-8, take your pick, which one is
it? Right. But what do you think the mood's like with the Leafs right now? They can't be happy, clearly, about the way they're playing, but this is one more hurdle.
It is, but isn't it about testing other players? Right now, there's opportunity for guys to step into that type of a role, be it Austin Matthews, go down the list. You know, Kerfoot, any of the guys that they have working up the middle of the ice, you're going to get a bigger role with Tavares out. So nothing you can do about the injury. You've got to find a way to battle through it, but you know, it should be looked at as opportunity.
So there's Boston Bruin fans right now, and they're saying, oh, isn't that too bad? He's going to miss a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever the case may be. Bergeron missed a month last year.
Yeah.
At the same time that Chara was out, at the same time that McAvoy was out, at the same time that Carlo was out, and then later after them, it was Pasternak was out. I mean, and they didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, you want to be a good
team. Kyle Dubas has mentioned that. He said, you know, we want to... be like that, where we lose key players and we just keep on trucking.
I there wasn't a week went by last year, because I do a gazillion radio hits a week, where I used to talk about the Bruins last year and say, yeah, look at this. Remarkable. Guy's out of the lineup. Yeah. That guy's out of the lineup. Don't even miss a beat. Mm-hmm. And that's all. To Dreg's point, I got to believe Mike Babcock's going to say to Austin Matthews, you're the guy.
Own it.
Yeah. You're getting paid a lot of money.
Mitch.
Yep. Step up.
Those are the two
You're
guys.
You're almost $11 million man. Yeah. Let's go.
I'd put That's them right. together, too. Go ahead.
And that, yeah, maybe. But, well, you could, but I don't know that the, you know, does Nylander shift to the middle now? I don't think so. I could be wrong. Maybe he will.
Well, Spez is, he might come out of the press box.
He should come out of the press box. So the in order, it would
again,
be.
Again, opportunity.
The yeah. pressure will be on, in order, Matthews to step up, Kerfoot to move up, and Spezza to come on down and get into the lineup.
Yeah.
See, my thought process is Spezza, come on down and move up and play in that position in the second line centerman. Wow. That's what you're most comfortable doing. You've been that in that role your whole career. Just turn back the clock and give me 2 weeks. That's all I'm asking from you. I'm not asking you to do that for 82 games. 2 weeks, be a real good player. I think he can do it. As opposed to everybody saying, this is what you can't do, you can't take draws, you can't penalty kill, you can't blah, blah, blah. Go and do it, and I think he can do it.
Well, but wouldn't you consider Kerfoot moving him up?
No, he's a third-line player in the National Hockey League every day, all day, every day of the week. And you move him up, you're asking for too much, and you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
Now, they moved Mikheyev up last night with Tavares and Marner. So you have Mikheyev up there, you had Marner up there, now Tavares is out. Do you just put Kerfoot in there? Because Kerfoot's been playing well with Mikheyev and Moore on the third line. I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see
That's what I think he does.
It's going to be fascinating to see what Babcock does here.
Well, the pressure's on him, man. Now, social media is a toxic place, and it certainly is not
really?
An exact science. Yeah, you'd be shocked. I'll tell you some stories one day. But it's all Babcock now. Whenever they lose a game, you go on there, and it's his fault every single game.
Yeah, there's always one tweet saying, oh, you know, they should have just pulled the coach. Or it's always there's a coach one just thrown in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Toronto. That's a big hockey market.
Who cares? Like, social media.
Right.
Like,
he's not going anywhere.
And if that was the case, and if Mike Babcock felt that pressure from social media, which he won't, but if he did, I could be pretty damn sure that he's going to transfer that to Matthews and Marner
right.
and Kerfoot and Spezza and all these guys and saying, hey, you know.
Have we figured out what his account is yet? Babcock?
He's on there. You 100% know
he's on there.
I bet Everyone's. He's not.
He is absolutely, because I've had conversation where he's let it slip. So either somebody has told him about some Twitter noise, or He's seen it directly.
I'll bet you he's on there.
There wouldn't be many coaches and managers who aren't. I mean, there's probably some obvious guys. I don't think Lou is spending a whole lot of time on Twitter.
No, but he might suggest he should be on there to know what his players are up to.
Sure, sure.
Like, I remember we hired
people for that.
Yeah, but we had Dallas Aikens on years ago when I think he was still with the Marlies. And he's on Twitter. He's still active on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked him about that, and he said a lot of it is I want to know what my players are up to online.
If Lou's on Twitter, he's got an egg.
Oh, no doubt. Egg avatar for the Lou father. Are you guys buying Edmonton or selling Edmonton? Where are you at with Edmonton right now?
You know what? Points are in the bank.
No kidding.
The way I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm buying it. It's not sustainable. I mean, when you look at their special teams numbers, I mean, come on. You know, you can't continue at that clip on the power play or on penalty kill. You know, I alluded to goaltending earlier. Their goaltending has been terrific. Somehow their blue line remains intact. They're getting all their offense primarily from the
two
obvious
guys.
You know,
well, James Neal.
Yeah, that's honestly, if like I wondered today as I'm searching around collecting for insider trading whether or not Kenny Holland could be lured into something sooner rather than later, maybe deviate from the plan given how successful they've been out of the gate. And he says nope. He said something lands in my lap, I'll consider it. Like you're talking about bolstering the bottom six up front. Yeah. Primarily, that's what you're looking at. But he said, no, he's going to do his shopping in February, if at all. Like, they love the way things are going in Bakersfield with a handful of players, and they like the way their young guys like Bear are playing at the NHL level. So it's not sustainable what they're doing, but it's kind of a breath of fresh air.
I like how after the game last, so they waxed Philadelphia. But Tippett's right. I mean, they should have been down by about 5 goals. Koskinen kept them in the game early on. They should have got blown out.
What's your guess on points for McDavid? Like, what's achievable?
135.
Yeah. I think 130 anyway.
Yeah.
How about that dummy Carlo? He gave him to me in the fantasy draft.
Come on.
Yeah, he took Kucherov. I just said, okay, bud. McDavid.
Falls in your lap.
Yeah.
Last night looks good. Huh?
5 points.
The rookie move.
It is a rookie move. Bob McKenzie, Darren Dreger in studio. They might be able to get a guy out of Vegas in 20 games. This Zykov kid who's you know, tested positive for some sort of substance, and he's claiming that publicly it was
bizarre.
Unknowing.
Have you guys
didn't
ever seen a situation
it.
Where the player...
Where the team throws the player under
like
the bus?
Right under the bus. Like on the freeway.
Well, and it clearly is based on their knowledge and history with Valentin Zykov, right? Otherwise, there's no way that they word the press release the way that they did, saying that he knowingly took the banned substance, and then double down, because I checked as soon as the PA release came out quoting Zykov, where he said, I don't know how I tested positive.
But I'm responsible for it.
I went back to Vegas to say, well, he's not taken responsible. The Players Association, the agent, are saying that he did not knowingly take anything. And they
That's
doubled down,
the
man.
That's always the playbook, right?
They doubled down.
It's always the playbook.
Oh, yeah,
every
absolutely.
Player, they never knowingly did anything.
Yeah. By the way, though. He's going to serve his 20 games.
You know, right. Did Trainer in Vegas ever come under fire? That's two guys in their team.
Yeah, but one was, wasn't one of them at the World Championships?
Yeah.
Shea
Theodore?
No, I'm talking about
Nate Schmidt, rather. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's there's some.
But I think maybe that's one of the reasons. And again, I don't. I apologize to Shea Theodore.
We'll blame him. Put that up on TSN.ca.
Exactly. But
headlines.
But maybe, and I'm just guessing here. Maybe the reason the team so clearly said knowingly is because
they're trying to bail
behind the scenes. Well, they know. Okay. Well, yeah, we've had a couple of guys do this, so we don't want it on us. But maybe they said to him, "Hey, man, don't take the stuff you're taking, or there might be some stuff there that we're not signing off on. Don't take it." And maybe he took it. I don't know. What else would be the explanation for a National Hockey League club saying of their own player he knowingly took something when he says, I'm not sure how it happened?
Yeah,
it's so easy to get around that. You don't have to say we fully support you publicly.
Yeah,
but you could have just said we don't really have a comment and we're going to let it play out.
There will be a bit of a fight moving forward here, though, between the Players Association and the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, again, the player can't appeal in this case, but you know the PA can file a grievance against the Golden Knights for how they described in the press release that this kid knowingly took the banned substance.
Right.
We'll see.
Wow, man. We will see. All right, boys. Good seeing you guys. Thank you for doing this.
Good-looking shirt you got with the blazer today.
Oh, I went full-blown T-shirt.
I thought that was years ago. No,
it's coming back. Yeah, it's working. This is a Kirkland shirt, I believe.
Is
Costco.
It?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Kirkland.
Yeah. I'm not spending a lot of money on white T-shirts. That's not going to happen. And the button up, I'm looking good. I'm feeling good.
They got the $5.99 George t-shirt at Walmart.
Spectacular. The George holds up, man. Do not disparage the George name.
Joe Fresh.
Joe Fresh.
Superstore, don't be afraid.
I'm there.
Wow, you guys. You guys are killers, man.
We are. Just put it on the plastic. I don't even look at the price.
I have a line for that, but I'm not going to use it on this show.
I know what it is. We're all married. We don't care. Yeah. Darren Dreger, Bob McKenzie, Hockey Insiders in studio.